It is a state capitol report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We dive into the fiscal position of our state and a Republican package of tax cuts, and you can be part of the discussion. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Republican State Representative Mark Bourne of Beaver Dam is co-chair of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. Representative Bourne, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Good to be with you.
Good morning. So starting with the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, now estimating our state's operating budget, our general fund will reach about a $3.2 billion surplus at the end of the two-year budget cycle. What is your reaction to those new estimates that are down from a previous $4.3 billion surplus?
Still a very strong financial position for the state. The estimates were adjusted less than 1%, so still seeing good growth, still have a large surplus, as you mentioned, $3.2 billion. That doesn't even include our rainy day fund, which is a little over $1.8 billion now. So continuing to be in a really good fiscal shape. And after a strong budget where we invested in a lot of priorities, it's time to return some of that surplus to the taxpayers.
Governor Tony Evers delivered his State of the State address, as you know, last week, and the governor said Wisconsin is starting the year in the best fiscal position in state history.
As we enter 2024, our state has never been in a better fiscal position than we are today, better than last year, better than when I took office, and better than any year in Wisconsin, 176 years of statehood.
Do you agree with that assessment, the governor's optimism about our state government's financial position?
Yeah, I guess it kind of echoes what I just said, too. I mean, we're on the same page on that. We're in great fiscal shape as a state. We're maintaining a strong surplus. And really, it's, you know, more than a decade now of sound fiscal management, Republican legislative budgets with large tax cuts, investments in key areas, have been support for the economy, and then it's the great small businesses and workforce we have here in Wisconsin growing this economy, and the state continues to be in strong financial shape even through a pandemic and through some uncertain times here in the last couple of years with really high inflation that has been tough on families and businesses. The state has come through pretty strong, and the indicators we saw in this last memo from the Fiscal Bureau, you know, it looks like we're in a strong spot to continue.
What do you think is like a comfortable and sensible general fund surplus cushion? Like what is your type of benchmark?
I think that with the tax cut that we're proposing is about $2 billion, which will leave a little over $1 billion in the general fund, coupled with our rainy day fund that I mentioned at 1.8, you know, we're going to be sitting on about $3 billion in cash. And that's a pretty sound amount of money to be sitting on for our general fund and for how much we spend in our annual and, well, our biannual budget as it's written, but looking annually at our GPR spend, that's a pretty solid cash flow.
So, as you mentioned, the four bills that Republican leaders have announced would cost the state about $2 billion in tax revenue, and you're comfortable with that tax relief and what the and depleting the general fund surplus, you know, to that extent.
Yeah, I think that's a good amount. As I mentioned in our budget, we spent a lot of money on a lot of important areas, infrastructure, education, healthcare. We had a big tax cut in there. The governor vetoed most of it. We've sent two tax cuts to him since then. This will be the third attempt. We keep modifying it, hoping we can find the right package that the governor will support, because we think coupled with that spending, it's important to have tax relief. We had a large, more than $7 billion surplus. We're going to keep some of it in the fund, as we've already mentioned. And this is a good amount for a tax cut, and it focuses on the middle class and important areas. And that's something that the governor said was a priority. If you go back a year ago to a state of state address, he said middle class tax cuts was a priority for him. He kind of set that number, income number, at about $150,000. So that's what we're focused on and what we're coming back with for a middle class tax cut. broadening the second income bracket to $150,000 for a major drug filer from $38,000. Also looking at providing tax relief for retirees. Also, something else that the governor has said is important to him is the child care, the rising cost of child care, and helping families with that. So our tax cut includes expanding the child independent care tax credit. So there's a lot of opportunity here in areas that the governor's already identified. That middle class tax cut that we're proposing would be an average tax cut of $454 per filer. That expanded child independent care tax credit would be an average tax cut of $656 to help those families paying for child care. So there's a lot of opportunity here and stuff that he's identified and we've identified looking for that compromise, like we found grand compromise, you know, earlier in this session for the
shared revenue,
the brewers here.
For brewers,
and for helping,
sure.
And for helping local government. Both of those are great ones, great examples.
Well, let me just reintroduce you here, Representative Mark Bourne, leader of the legislature's Budget Writing Committee, as we look at the financial position of our state and proposed tax relief, tax cut package. You can join in. Questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Mary Kay in Kenosha is here. Mary Kay, hi.
Hi. This has to be something done with the IRS. The reality is there are many homeless families either living with other people or they're not living anywhere at all. And they are working and they are paying taxes, but their income doesn't allow them enough to be able to drive a car, put insurance on the car, have insurance for their family, get an apartment with escrows because they have skyrocketed. The real estate companies have skyrocketed everything. So we need a tax credit for the homeless working people. Okay, but we need to tie it into the IRS for future years. They don't, you know, what I'm saying is only those people really need the help right now. They are working, and they are working practically for nothing.
Mary Kay, thank you. Representative Bourne, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, the good news in Wisconsin is for anyone earning below, and I don't have the number in front of me, but I think it's $27,000 on that first bracket. They're paying no income taxes already in Wisconsin. So, I mean, she mentioned the IRS, so maybe her concerns are more with the federal tax system. But we already have a bracketed system with lower rates and in fact, no rates once you're below that certain level. So that's certainly a good tax system for folks that are trying to work their way out of a situation or working poor, I think is what sometimes folks refer to. So, I think we're already in a pretty good spot on that here in Wisconsin. And we know that, you know, middle-class families in these inflationary times are struggling just as much. And that's why, you know, the tax has to be focused on the folks that are paying and focused on that middle class and those lower two brackets.
So which of the four tax cut bills is most important to you?
I think that, boy, that's like asking you to pick your favorite child or something here, but they're certainly all important. I would say if I had to pick one, I would say the retirement income exclusion, because we see a lot of folks making the decision to move to states that don't tax those retirement benefits. We're losing a lot of our seniors and institutional memory and experience here in Wisconsin, and so I think if we can help those folks on fixed incomes with that relief, that's something else that the caller didn't identify, but it goes along the same strain. If you're, you know, struggling to stay in your home as property taxes are rising on fixed income, these can have a huge benefit to retirees. And the average tax cut for seniors would be over $1,500 per filer by excluding retirement income for everyone age 65 up to $150,000 for joint filers. So again, targeting that magic number that the governor talked about a year ago as his middle class. So very focused on the middle class, and in this case, focused on retirees.
Really quick before we move on, would Republicans have enough support from Democrats, do you think, to override a veto by the governor here?
I guess we'll see as the bills move through the process, but this retirement income exclusion, for example, is a bill that's been out there for a while. It does have Dem co-sponsors on the bill, so I'm certainly expecting some bipartisan support on that one, and I would think the child dependent tax care credit for sure. So hoping for a broad bipartisan support because, you know, these are good ideas, and we've been willing to modify our position on tax cuts. This is the fourth tax cut in 6 or 8 months now. And while the governor and the state of the state really stuck to, you know, a lot of the old tired things, we're always willing to adjust and try to find common ground and those compromises like we did, as we mentioned, on local governments and the brewers earlier this year.
Republican Representative Mark Bourne is co-chair of the legislature's Budget Writing Committee. You can join in at any point as we discuss legislative proposals and fiscal policy. Call in with a question, add comments, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is a State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As lawmakers prepare for another floor period in about 2 weeks, we check in with Republican State Representative Mark Bourne of Beaver Dam. Bourne co-chairs the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. Call in with a question. You can share thoughts along the way at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. So the state assembly advanced a measure that could allow Wisconsin voters to ban abortions after 14 weeks of pregnancy, and current law bans abortions after 20 weeks. Why do you support this referendum approach?
I think it's just important on an issue that has been so divisive and so emotional, really across the spectrum, from folks that believe, you know, no abortion should ever exist, to folks that believe it should be, you know, right up until birth and everywhere in between. And it's important to have Wisconsin, you know, have a law that's, you know, more in sync with the rest of the world. You know, you look at European countries and they have an abortion ban that's usually in that 12 to 14 week area. That seems to be kind of the standard, that first trimester. And so why not offer that up to the voters, let the voters decide, let them have the final say, because it's been such a difficult issue on really on both sides. And one of the more, you know, challenging ones, certainly of our political time. And I just think it's the right approach to let the voters weigh in.
What is your position on banning abortions after 14 weeks?
I've always been pro-life. You know, I would prefer that abortions didn't happen, but I realize they do. And I realize, like I said, that this is really important to a lot of folks to have access to that. So that's why I think it's better to put it to the voters and not just have it be, you know, what each individual preference is, but try to set a standard that is reasonable, that is, like I said, followed by a lot of other countries and both in states in this country as well as a lot of other countries around the world. And so let's try to set a reasonable standard and see if the voters think that's a reasonable standard by asking them for them to weigh in on this important issue.
The bill passed the assembly 53-46. There were nearly a dozen of your Republican colleagues who voted no on this. Does your caucus have different visions for what abortion access should look like in Wisconsin?
Well, sure it does. I mean, just like it does across the state, you know, from individual to individual, as I said, this is a very difficult issue, a very divisive and emotional issue for a lot of people. And so certainly as representative of the state, our caucus is in the different. There's a wide range. I would assume in the Dem Assembly caucus, there's a wide range, too, on what are the right laws to have in place. And that reflects the state. So that's why it's good to take this one to the voters and let the state voters decide if this is the right statute, the right law to have on Wisconsin's books.
Let's go to Mike in Lake Mills now. Mike, hi, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just want to make a couple comments about abortion. It was 1968 when I started working the abortion issue in upstate New York with Senator Sam Stratton. It is not a government issue. It is a family issue. The family values that Republicans say they have but don't. It is between a wife, a husband, and their family. I remember in the 60s when women had to travel out of state to get abortions to save their life. What Christians did then we gathered and we prayed. We prayed for insight. We prayed for forgiveness. When your religion crosses my threshold to tell me how to live.
Okay, Mike, I'm going to jump in here. Representative Bourne, there are a lot of emotions on this issue. And I'm just one. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, clearly, and I think that, you know, when the caller said that this is not something that government should be involved in, I think that, you know, when you asked about the variety of opinions just in my caucus, I think there would be members that agree with that. And that's part of why we brought this proposal forward, to try to get it out of our caucus, our legislature, get it before the people, see if this standard, which is accepted in a lot of developed countries around the world, is the right standard for Wisconsin, and let the voters weigh in.
Talking with State Representative Mark Bourne, looking at policies, proposals here in Wisconsin. Call in with a question, share insights, 800-642-1234. Turning now to election maps, in December, the state Supreme Court rules that our state's election maps for legislative districts were unconstitutional. New maps must be drawn. And the legislature has approved new maps, but the governor has then vowed to veto them. Why do you support the new maps?
I just think that another one of these places where we should try to find compromise. We should stop spending all this money on attorneys, stop all these lawsuits. It's just a waste of time and resources, and it's time to move on. And we can all agree to disagree, I guess. I mean, certainly we felt that the maps we have were appropriate. The court decided otherwise, so it's time to move on. And we're trying to compromise by, picking the map that the governor had proposed with some very minor changes. We tried to also compromise a few months ago by proposing to move forward with the Iowa model of redistricting. You know, I just think especially Assembly Republicans are very interested in moving forward with compromise. The Senate Republicans have joined us in this latest effort. And, I think it would be great if the governor would meet us partway on this.
Do you think are Republicans likely to approve different maps to avoid the Supreme Court drawing its own maps?
I don't think it's about avoiding anything. I mean, the Constitution is clear. The court's own ruling was clear that the role of drawing the map is the legislature's role. The court, in their own ruling in December, encouraged the legislature to do so. It just, because there is a very, very, very tight timeline to get this done before we need to start circulating papers for the next election, the court has said they will take action if the legislature and then the governor can't complete a bill to do that by then. So certainly the legislature should continue efforts to draw the maps, and hopefully the governor will work with us on that.
I mean, what does a politically neutral map mean to you and fellow Republicans? I mean, what is your interpretation of that?
I think that it's hard to tell in this day and age what a politically neutral map is and if it even exists, because almost anything you do in this very hyper-partisan world that we live in now will have some lens of partisanship. But I think that, that's why we looked at the governor's map and said, well, this isn't, we think, the most fair map. It certainly had some very targeted drawings on some individual legislators, some individual incumbents. But, if the governor thought this was a map he could live with, we could live with it too.
Running against fellow incumbents?
Well, there was a lot of pairing of incumbents. But then also there were some, you look at up in the, I think it's the 75th, Pat Snyder up in the Wausau area where he was taken out of his district just by a few blocks. There were a few other legislators that were kind of like that. It seems unusual that any data-driven thing would draw a map by just across the street in the case of one legislator in the Fox Valley, or just drawing one ward out of the city of Wausau and just capturing that incumbent by a few. I think there were some targeted things, but that's part of why this is such a partisan thing. It just depends on what side is doing it. They're always looking for advantage in our political system nowadays, and it makes it hard to do that. So that's why we're trying to compromise with the governor.
And only about 20 seconds left here. What does the Joint Finance Committee plan to address in the weeks ahead? A little bit of a preview.
We'll have a lot of legislation moving through the process. We've got the legislation with the EW system that was a compromise, and a few other small spending bills. But we're wrapping up the session here in the next month or so.
Representative Bourne, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Mark Bourne is a Republican state representative from Beaver Dam. He is co-chair of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.